congratulations on the film, first of all. It's the kind of movie that keeps me jazzed about being a film critic after 25 years. Really good work.
Thank you.
Very high praise. Thank you very much.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Thanks, Mike.
Sure. Sam, I want to start with you. Maybe you can just speak a little bit to how you came to helming this project and the journey and, you know, getting the screenplay and working with Joe and Anthony and all that.
Well, I started out in stunts. I met Joe and Anthony Russo on Captain America Winter Soldier. I was doubling Chris Evans as Captain America. And, that relationship led to other Marvel films that I'm very fortunate to have been a part of. And then down the road on Infinity War, when we were working and I was directing some second unit, I had mentioned to Joe during the course of our correspondences through the years that I was going to be directing soon. I was looking for projects, and he came to me and said, "Hey, I think I have a script that would be really good for your first picture." Cool. And so I read it, and I'd actually read it before when it was under the title of Ciudad, where he wrote a graphic novel and a script a number of years ago. And he just kind of changed it around in a very brilliant move, actually, because Western audiences haven't experienced much in the part of the world where we ventured to, Bangladesh and India. Was very, I think, very smart move on his part. And but the essence of the story was the same. The character that I really liked in the previous was still there. And so we tweaked a few things, but it was very much the script that I read and loved. And then on Infinity War, when Hemsworth became interested and involved, it was kind of the the perfect blend, the holy trinity, if you will, the Russos, Chris Hemsworth, and Netflix. You have this like, what you have to do. It's like just calling to you. And so the rest is history.
Pretty incredible, though. A lot of directors, they start off, Sam, with a nice little quirky indie comedy about a dysfunctional family in Albuquerque.
That was a big discussion. I mean, that was a huge deal of mine, of being like, hey, is this the right first move? Because it's like you're jumping into the big leagues. And is that something that you're ready for? The self-doubt and all the voices in your head. And then I had a lot of people just say, hey, you take this on, and if you do well, if you make a good movie, you've skipped a lot of steps. If you don't, you go back and you can direct your Albuquerque, comedy. But swing for the fences. And I love that about my friends and support system. It was like, and I've been doing that my whole life, of taking calculated risks. And you're just stacking the deck in your favor, working with people like Hemsworth and Russo. And you're just, you're setting yourself up for success. And then, you do the best you can and hopefully get a good movie.
It's interesting. It's like the label for first-time director, I don't think is ever appropriate for a second unit director or a stunt director, because I've worked with first-time directors who literally have maybe shot a short film and been on a set a couple of times, and you're scratching your head going, hang on, everyone else on the set has had 20 years of experience and so on. And then the thing falls apart, and not always, but occasionally. And with Sam, though, and other, guys in his position, I have such faith and a lot more sort of confidence in, just because they know more about telling story through action than a lot of main directors do. And often I see main directors sort of turn to the second unit guys and say, what do you think? How can we make this look cooler? And so having Sam so versed in that world, I knew we'd have in spades. What I was so pleasantly surprised about was how much nuance and education and certainty there was in dramatic performance shooting and shooting the nuance, the character journey, because I thought, okay, we're going to have the action, but are we going to have this? And that was the bonus, because it gives the film, it's not just an action film, then it does have a heartbeat, it does have a grounded sort of truth in there, relatable characters. And to have that all in that one package from Sam was, he's talking about the Holy Trinity. Well, we won with you, mate, with all those things.
Cheers, man.
Well, that's one of the factors that makes this, a next level film. You've got the incredible action, but you do have those actually, small intimate moments. Obviously, Chris, with you and Rudy, and even with your former best mate, that's a completely different style. So I agree with you. It's quite a feat for Sam to, handle the big picture stuff, but the intimate moments as well. Hey, Chris, I want to ask you a little bit about this guy, between Drunken Thor and this guy, you've got the market cornered on former Mighty Warriors who are now holed up and need to get together.
Yeah, I think, vulnerability. I remember one of my first acting classes many, many years ago, You know, my drama teacher talking about vulnerability is sort of so accessible and it's the key and so on. And I do think some of my earlier work, there was too much sort of bravado and it was closed off and certain of his path and so on. And, you know, in the last couple of films, the films you mentioned, showing the cracks, showing the sort of, you know, that these people are also vulnerable to the same pain that we as an audience are, makes it all the more relatable, makes it accessible. And certainly, you know, we talked about this. We didn't want him to be the Terminator. We wanted him to have a constant forward sort of momentum, but as a sort of kamikaze sort of approach to it, you know, yet in that momentum and physicality, we wanted to show the pain and the bruises, you know, and that he was, you know, limping at times and just how beat up he feels throughout every scene, how beat up he starts as well. And not just sort of emotionally broken, but seeing the sort of physical breaks and you forget to keep that, hold that continuity.
Yeah.
I think in films at times, and it was great that Sam and I were on the same page with that. And it was a constant sort of, we had to check ourselves and go, okay, what portion of this film is this? And how many times has he been shot or stabbed or rolled?
That's a great point. Cause I've seen many a movie where someone gets, you know, stabbed in the thigh with a switchblade and then 5 minutes later, he's sprinting like he's in the Olympics, you know, and this does have, you know, it's got an institutional memory. I'd like each of you, if you can, to speak a little bit about the fight scenes, because this is the kind of polar opposite of the Marvel universe, which is all strength and speed. And here I feel like we're seeing maybe some Kali or Jeet Kune Do. Can you talk a little bit about the fighting styles and the techniques that were used?
Yeah, it was the most involved and complex stunt work and rehearsals that I'd ever been a part of. You know, sometimes stuff gets choreographed and it just physically doesn't make sense and you do it over and over and it just doesn't seem to work. I found there was such a sort of seamless choreography with this that everything did flow into the next step, and the forward momentum Sam's talking about was continuous. It was the most exhausting thing I've ever done. And, you know, because of this sort of series of long, wide shots, we're unable to sort of cut to another angle if there was a mistake or switch out a stunt performer or so on. So, you know, we'd get 80-90% the way through it and I'd make a mistake and we'd have to start all again. So a different set of a pressure, but, you know, completing these sequences, there was such a sense of achievement that I haven't felt before. And it felt like the physical sort of competition. It reminded me of when I used to play football, you know, at the end of each day, you were like, all right, we just finished that match and you're exhausted, but there's still the adrenaline running through your body. And that was unlike anything I'd done before. It was great.
I only got a couple of minutes. I want to ask each of you just to talk a little bit about how you're spending your days in these crazy quarantine times right now. If you can just each speak to that a little bit.
Chris?
Just home with the family, with my kids. And, you know, I think, to be honest, you know, for the last 10 years, I've had a schedule. I've known exactly what I was going to do when. I knew what was coming, what, you know, the next sort of 6 months looked like. To have that removed, for me personally, I'm finding there's a positive thing to, you know, this is a positive outcome to that, because it allows me to spend more time with my family, and I've wanted to slow down and just be still and in the present moment a bit more for a long time, and have been pulled in so many different directions. So I'm enjoying the time at home. You know, it's tricky homeschooling the kids. I got to say that's my daily biggest challenge. You know, it's strange, uncertain. I'm, you know, just trying to, you know, be positive about it as much as I can and just be still with the moment instead of having too many expectations or kind of trying to control anything, you know, just doing my thing.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's similar. It's just controlling the things you can, which is your attitude and your perspective. And then also remembering, it's funny, I get caught up in all these things that I feel like I should be doing or that I need to be doing, and just reminded that, no, that's not, that's, there is no should. There is no, you know, you're forced to into the present moment of like, what is actually necessary, you know, for me to accomplish. Now, there's everyone handles it differently, and that's one of the beautiful aspects. And the other, because everything is, like Chris said, such a schedule and so, you know, laid out for you, I try to, it's simplifying the day's schedule and just making a short little list and say, like, and try, but and establishing your own schedule, because that helps. Like, people need a little bit of structure, and so I try to structure a time to be productive, but then also to be in the moment. It's interesting because I try to get up early, still get up early. The don't want to waste the daylight, but then do something. Write, for example. I'm writing with a partner. We're working on adapting a novel into a screenplay. So we get up and write for 3 hours every morning, and I force myself, even though I don't have to get out of bed at 6 a.m., but I get up to write. And then, what else do I need to do? I focus on a few specific things and then make myself just sit down, meditate, and enjoy the present moment with the people that I care about. I'm here with my girlfriend, our dog, and the space, and just appreciate the people that are closest to you and the things that you do have, because that's what's really important.
Oh, very well said. Well, listen, guys, congratulations again, and be well. Take care now.
Thanks very much. You too.